Great. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Berry Street Community Church. My name's Dougie, and I'm the pastor of this local church here in North London. If you're watching on YouTube later at some point, we hope you find this service a blessing to you. You will find it handy to have a Bible nearby. In our church Bible readings this week, we try to read a couple of chapters of the Bible a day. But I was struck in Exodus 3 when God says to Moses, "I will be with you." And it made me think of some other times in the Bible where that sort of phrase came up. See, what an encouragement for Moses to think that as he went forth that day, as he went forward, that God was with him. Well, when the Lord Jesus was about to ascend and return to heaven at the end of Matthew's gospel, he says to his disciples, that he would be with them always. Later on in the New Testament, Christians are promised by God that he will never leave them. And by the Holy Spirit today, the Lord Jesus is with his people, this local church. And I hope this gives us the same strength of faith to love and serve and follow the Lord Jesus as it did in the life of Moses. Let's sing as we begin. We're going to sing "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven." We should all be in mute, so please sing out. If you want to stand, then please stand as we would if we were gathered in a church building. So Titus, please, would you roll "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven"? My prayer this morning is based on the prayer of some godly men from a few hundred years ago. I've updated the language so that we can understand it, but it is a great thing to pray at the start of our service. Let's bow our heads. Our Father in heaven, this is your day, the day we gather to worship, to remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and his victory over sin and death. The day that we can think again of our heavenly rest to come, when all your people from all of history will unite in endless song. We thank you for your throne of grace where mercy is given, that it is open to us through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that you are ready to hear us and be gracious to us, inviting us to pour out our needs. And you promise to give more than we can ask or think. Father, forgive our many sins today when we've not worshipped you as we ought, when we've been indifferent to you and your commands. Forgive our thanklessness. Please cleanse us with the blood of Jesus again. Give us an abundance of the blessings that the Lord's Day was designed to give. Flood our minds with peace beyond understanding. Would our joys come from your throne? Would our food be your precious word? And would our hearts be more and more knitted to the Lord Jesus? And we pray these things in his name. Amen. Now, boys and girls, you're going to need a Bible, grown-ups, you as well. And you're going to need to turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. As you're turning there, I wonder if you watched Holiday Club this week. We did. I hope you enjoyed it. We enjoyed the songs and the Bible stories. You can find that online on YouTube. If you look at the Together for Mission, if you just put that into YouTube, you'll find the Holiday Club stuff. It was really well done. I was really thankful for it. And as I said, we're still singing some of the songs in our house. Now, let me tell you a bit about Daniel. Most famous of all about Daniel was that he was thrown to lions. But I'm not going to tell you about that today. Maybe you can get a grown-up to tell you about that a bit later on. In Daniel chapter 6, if you look at it, here's what I want to tell you today. In verse 10. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. By this point in Daniel's life, he was an old man. And we are told that since he'd been pretty young, he went to his room and he opened the window and he got down on his knees and he prayed and thanked God at least three times a day. And we're told that he had done that most of his life. Boys and girls, grown-ups, if we want to be those who love and follow the Lord Jesus Christ all of our lives, and I know I see this often, but one of the habits that we're going to have to learn is to pray. Jesus expects that his followers pray all of their lives. And one of the best things that I can tell you and that I can teach you is to start praying, is to make it a habit like Daniel did. Let me show you some things, okay? I've got with me a bowl, and in it, I don't know if you can see it, I'll hold up to the camera. Can you see what that is? It's Weetabix, isn't it? I wonder what you had for breakfast this morning. There was a few people in our house that had Weetabix. Now, one of the times a day, I'm sure Daniel would have prayed, was at breakfast time. I'm pretty sure of that. And he gave thanks to God. I wonder a little later on what you'll have for lunch. Now, I like chocolate spread sandwiches for lunch. Does anyone else like chocolate spreads? I see a few people going, ugh. Hey, chocolate spread sandwiches, they go down a big hit in our house. Well, I wonder if at lunchtime, one of the things that Daniel did was that he prayed and gave thanks to God. What about at tea time, dinner time, later on? Well, I wonder if you like these fish fingers. Again, these are really well loved in our house. And I wonder if at tea time, dinner time, Daniel, as he had his fish fingers or whatever he ate, gave thanks to God. Now, we have three meals. Most of us is three meals a day. I wonder if a good habit that we can get into, like Daniel, is to three times a day give thanks to God for all his goodness towards us. There's loads of other times that we can say thank you to God. Of course there is. But like Daniel, it would be good to do that at least three times a day, to say thank you to God. Will you remember to do that today at lunchtime? There's lots we can give thanks for. We're going to sing again a song that we've recently learned over the past few months. It's called We Are the Church. I love this song. And Titus, please, would you play this?
Before the world began, God made a master plan to bring all things together under one head. That head is Jesus Christ, who died and rose to life, and now he's seated at the right hand of God. Once we were dead in sin, now we are raised with him. By grace we're saved through faith in Jesus alone. Part of his body now, united by his power, joined with his people up all over the world. We are the church, have you heard? He washed us clean with his word. He chose us to be on his team. We are more loved than we could dream. We got good news, shout it out. You've gotta hear what it's all about. Each other using gifts from the King. We pray for unity so everyone will see God's plan in action in his people today. We are the church, have you heard? He washed us clean.
Some notices that are coming up for this week and some of the weeks ahead. If you're local to this church family, please do listen up. Stay around afterwards. We'd love to get to know you a bit better. We're going to have some breakout groups where we can chat for a little while. If you've got to go, you've got to go. But we'd love to stay around and just catch up. Tuesday night at 8 p.m., we have our midweek gathering, our Bible study with some prayer in that. If you need the details of a Zoom, please contact us here at the church and we can get them out to you. we've just had half term. This week is more of a regular week where most of the kind of the ministries of this local church will be opening up again Thursday at 1:30. Ladies, if you'd like to be part of the ladies' Bible study group, then let me encourage you to do that. It may well be that if you're working from home or you just happen to be at home and you'd like to be part of that, then please come along. You can join in. They meet for sort of 45 minutes, an hour. If you'd like details, contact us. Friday night, young people, 8 p.m., we'll be back on Zoom as well. Now, one of the things that I wanted to speak about, we're going to have a church meeting, okay, on Monday, the 1st of March. Monday, the 1st of March. As I said, if you consider this to be your kind of local church, then we're going to have that on Zoom. There's going to be some plans that we've got to talk to you about, the elders, the budget as well, the new Lou project. It's a chance to hear things, ask questions. It is important. We'll keep it to the hour, but that's Monday, the 1st of March, 8 p.m. on Zoom. If you can be there, please do. Put it in your diary. This is an important one. We'd love for you to be there. And then just one other thing that some of you last month may have listened to the Together for Mission Partnership podcast. That's a little partnership of churches here in Enfield. We produce a podcast once a month to talk about different things. This month's podcast is about, and it's really topical, about why bother with online church. I listened to it the other day. It's really good. I'll post that up either today or tomorrow morning, and you can listen to it. If you don't know what a podcast is, forget about it. It's all right. And if you do and you like to listen to stuff, or you go for a run and you listen to podcasts, I'll send you the link. That's the best thing to do. If you'd like that, again, just contact me. Tomorrow should be an announcement from the Prime Minister about the easing of the current lockdown restrictions. We are thinking and praying about when will be the best time to reopen the church building. Please pray for us as we, the leaders, not just myself, but Nigel and Feeman, as we try to make a good call about what's the best time to do those things. I'm going to ask Veeman if he will lead us in prayer now.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you, we thank you, Lord, as we have gathered today to worship you, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity you have given us through online, Father. So we are grateful for that provision, Lord. Father, we also thank you that the way you have taken us through this pandemic, Father, the way you have provided us, Father. Lord, as we pray for our church family, especially those who are weak and those who are facing ill health at the moment, Father, please be with them in a mighty way. They would be strengthened, Father. We also pray for those who are bereaved these days, Lord, and those who have lost their loved ones. Lord, Father, comfort them and give them courage and hope at this difficult time. Lord, we also pray for those who are finding difficulties at their work situation, Lord. Father, please help them, Lord. We also thank you for the half-term Bible club, Father. We thank you for the children, those who actively heard that message. We pray that they would be encouraged to seek more and more about you, Lord, and the families, those who have watched that YouTube channel, Father. We also pray for the gospel opportunity, Father, especially this Easter time, Lord, as we are thinking through how best we can tell about your love, Father. Give us wisdom, Father. Give us courage, how best we can serve our community, our friends and neighbors, Lord. Father, we pray for our government. We thank you for the steps they have taken to protect us, Father, especially through this pandemic. We thank you for the NHS workers, for their support and their strength they have providing for the people, Lord. Father, we pray for the minister, especially as they are making announcement tomorrow, how best they can ease the lockdown. Father, give them wisdom, Lord. Father God, we pray for our mission partners, especially for the Fowlers in Central Asia, Father. We thank you for the church gathering in that land, Lord. Be with them, Father. Encourage those who have not heard about you, Father. Those who have not committed their lives to you, Lord. And be with them, Father. Especially for the Old Testament uploading in the YouTube, Lord. Give them wisdom, Father. And bless their ministry in that land, Father. Father God, we also think about our brothers and sisters around the world, those who are persecuted for their faith in you. Especially we are praying for our brothers and sisters in Africa, Father, this week. They are going through some sort of persecution by the terrorists, by the extremists, Lord. Father, have mercy on them, Father. They may know that you are the Lord, but forgive them, Lord, because they don't know whom they are persecuting. And give strength and courage to the believers, Father. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Thank you, Veeman. We're going to sing again before we have a Bible reading. It's the song that we you may have heard for the first time last Sunday. It's a song you might be familiar with. It's called Christ is Mine Forevermore. Titus, please roll the tape. Would you, if you know it, sing.
Pilgrim on a narrow road.
Fear is gone and hope is sure. Christ is mine forevermore. What a great lyric. We're going to have a Bible reading now. Please turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 12. And I'm going to ask Linda Moss if she will read that for us.
Our reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Warnings and encouragements. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered, so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak, first to his disciples, saying, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we ask now that as we come to your word, that fear would be gone. That as we spend time, as it were, at the feet of Jesus, that our hope would be sure. And that we would know Christ is ours forevermore. And we pray these things in his name. Amen. When I was a teenager, the question that scared me probably more than any others was on a Monday morning going into school when I'd spent the day at church and my pals would ask me, "So what did you do yesterday?" At that point, I had a decision to make. None of my pals were Christians. In fact, a good number of them were of the kind of sneery sort of, "Oh, you're one of them Bible basher," that, you know, those kind of comments. I'm sure you've met one or two of them before. But too often, out of fear, I bottled from saying anything about the Lord Jesus. As I got older, as I went to uni and work, and again, some of you guys will know these conversations. You know what it's like sometimes at lunchtime and somebody's reading something in a paper and all of a sudden, you know, what do you think happens to you once we die? Do you think there's anything else going on? Or why do you think we're here on this planet? You know, those kind of armchair theologians and philosophers, every now and again, a question like that just pops up. As I look back on my life, too often my answers were rotten. Around a meal table with a wider family, someone makes a comment that we know we could easily turn the conversation to Jesus, a kind of tap in, if you like. But we say nothing. We chicken out. I even remember once as a pastor going to a local festival with a stall, a table to hand out gospels, that this huge bear of a man came marching up to us and really angrily said, "What are you people doing here? You don't belong here. You shouldn't be here." I wish I could tell you what I remember saying to him. I wonder if any of those thoughts, conversations, feelings, if you've had them, what am I afraid of? People? Comfort? Being thought of as a weirdo? Too often, I'd much rather be liked and respected and accepted and thought of as a decent bloke rather than poke my head up and be known as someone who follows Jesus. I think even in lockdown, I'm not saying this is true for everyone, but there'll be some of us who, all right, we miss going out, we miss seeing people, our friends, but actually not being at school or at work where we're the butt of people's jokes for being Christians, actually we don't miss that at all. But those are the places the Lord Jesus wants us to stand out. And the Bible warns us pretty clearly that if we are Christians and people always love us and respect us, especially those who don't follow the Lord Jesus, if they're comfortable with us all the time, then there's probably something wrong in our following of Jesus. However, the Lord Jesus knows that battle is going to be tough. In this part of Luke's gospel, he gets it. That there's going to be a choice to be made on a Monday morning about what did you do yesterday? But he wants his followers to know this, that it's more important that we fear God than we fear other people. Look at verse 5, really strong words of the Lord Jesus. "But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." What is the Lord Jesus telling us? Fearing God is more important than what our friends might think of us. It's more important than whether or not someone at school thinks we're a bit odd. It's more important than spoiling the mood around the family dinner table. He calls us as Christians, if that's what we consider ourselves, to fear God and not people. Now, it's right that we think for a moment about what it means to fear God. In our time, that word fear almost immediately conjures up negative images, gangsters and ruthless tyrants who want to be feared. It's all about being scared witless. But in the Bible, the fear of the Lord is something that we see in both the Old and New Testaments. It's not automatically negative. You see, it includes having a big view of God. That's the positive thing to think about. It's understanding that God is to be worshipped, that he alone is perfect and holy. And if we are not obeying him, if we are not living as he says, then yes, fear, terror is an appropriate response. When we fear God, we see that he is big and we're small. We see that he's great and we're not. We see that he's powerful and we can't live without him. Fearing God is saying that I will trust nothing and no one other than him, no matter what that might bring. You know something? Fearing God is where we start becoming a follower of Jesus, because it's fearing God, it's respecting and obeying. And yes, at times there is fear that we think of when we admit our sins, that we do deserve God's punishment on them, and we ask the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fearing God is where becoming a Christian starts, but it's also what we need to do as believers every single day. My greatest need is to put what he thinks first. Our greatest need is that it is to fear God and not people. Look at verse 1. see what's happening in her story. Meanwhile, a crowd of many thousands had gathered. They're beginning to trample on one another. And Jesus began to speak first to his disciples. People are trampling over each other to get to Jesus. Thousands of people around. But he just wants to speak and be clear to his followers about these things. And as we consider this year how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, let me give you four brief but vital lessons that disciples need to learn to keep fearing God more than people. Here's the first one. We've got to fear God, not people, because he controls our final destination. Okay? Fear God because he controls our final destination. Over the past year, one of the things that I've watched in lockdown, it was a documentary about the moon landing. Okay, the first one. What you always see is a bunch of very serious people doing very serious things. That's both at Mission Control on the Earth, but also in the rocket, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. It's not like a car journey with our boys. No one in the rocket has been squirted with juice. You know, Buzz Aldrin is not saying over the radio, Mission Control, can you tell Neil Armstrong to stop flicking sweet papers at me? That's not happening. It's all very serious. Why? Because there's fear and respect about those who are in control of what's going on. Let's not upset them or put them off or annoy them. Now look back again at verse 4. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. When I am afraid of what my neighbor thinks about me, inviting him to watch our online church or handing him something to do with Easter or gospel, whatever it is, my fear of them is not to be my biggest consideration. Now, it's not nothing, but there's someone whose opinion is more important. The God who controls my eternal destination. You see, Jesus gives a contrast here between those who at worst might kill our bodies. Now, I suspect your neighbors, your friends are probably not going to do that, but at worst, that's what they can do. But God can throw our bodies and souls into the eternal punishment of hell. And that's to be more important in my thinking. Now, the Bible's clear that physical death is not the end of our journey as humans. Either we spend our eternity in heaven or in hell. If physical death is all there is, you know, you stop breathing, your heart stops pumping, that's it, then yeah, fear people. But as Christians, we know that's not the case, that there is life after death. And the opinion that should matter most to me is, and us, is what does that person who controls that life after death, who controls everything, who controls who, on whose say-so, where we're going to be, what does he think? Go back to verse 1 again. At the end of verse 1, Jesus says to his disciples, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is saying one thing and doing the other. Hypocrisy is fear-driven behavior. It's what we do when we want to please people, when we want them to think better of it. See, we can say we are Christians, but if we fear people more, Jesus warns us that it's hypocrisy. He goes on to say there's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What you've said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. We may be able to put on a show for parents or for people, for even a husband or wife or family members, but not God. And the fact that I will give account to my actions to God one day, that is supposed to override any fear that I might have had of Ross Bailey or Tony Curran as we sat at Sean's Academy in 1995 on a Monday morning and they asked, Doogie, what did you do yesterday? I'm not going to give an account of my life to them. What Jim Brown thinks of me next door or Jeanette Brown on the day that I give an account to the Lord Jesus for how I've lived my life, what they thought of me, that pales into insignificance. But if I do care more what they thought, then I should have no confidence on that day that I will be safe. We need to respect and honor and follow the one, the only one, who promises that he will protect us and bring us to safety on that day, the Lord Jesus who bled and died in our place on the cross. I need to pray, we need to pray, Lord, I want to fear you today more than I fear other people, more than my neighbors or those people at school, more than those people at work. I want to fear you and do what you say, because you control my eternal destination. The second reason we're given, we're to fear God, not people, because God cares about those who fear him. Look at verse 6. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. The reason we fear God and respect him and honor him, he cares deeply for his people. God knows us to the smallest detail. He's telling us here that if even the most common bird is known to God and God cares about them, if God cares about the ducks at First Farm Wetlands or the rat that runs across my path when I go up there, wherever it is, then he cares about us. Now, I could make jokes about even the hairs in our head are numbered by God. There's not enough time for the jokes that could be made at my expense there, okay? But that's how well God knows us. Those who fear God are precious to him. How do I know that God cares for us? Well, the cross of the Lord Jesus proves it to me again and again. My greatest need is to have my sins forgiven, to be brought back into relationship with God through the death of and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And he's accomplished it. In Romans 8, Paul says that if God didn't spare his own son to rescue us, then we can be sure that he'll give us daily what we need. He'll meet our needs, including the ability to fear him and serve him and speak up for him, rather than fear other people. Let me try and put it another way. When we put God first, when we fear him over people, when we speak up for Jesus, when we don't get involved in things we know that are blatantly wrong, what happens? Well, we can feel left out, belittled, laughed at, not part of the crowd, maybe worse. But God is watching and he cares for us. And you know what the Bible says? He's at work in those moments. He's doing things in our lives and the lives of our friends. We're not alone. We're cared for. When we fear God and not people and stick our heads up and make a stand, we're storing up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Our faith, the Bible says, is of greater worth than gold. Fear God, not people, because he cares for us. The third reason, fear God, not people, because he rejects those who reject Jesus, okay? He rejects those who reject Jesus. My older brother once went to a football match, and the only tickets he could get were in the middle of the other team's supporters. The only tickets he could get were at the wrong end. Now, how do you behave when you're sitting among the other team's fans and your team scores a last-minute winning goal? You zip up your coat and you keep your mouth shut and you certainly don't cheer. Now, fearing God, living as a follower of Jesus in our world, we can have a similar temptation to to that. Outside a church, we're surrounded by those who don't sing our songs, don't support our team. What's the temptation at home for the only Christian there, or among the people we work with, or at school, or with our friends? It's to zip up our coat, hide your scarf, to not say anything, to shut your mouth. And if we've been Christians for any length of time, we know that pressure. Have a look at verse 8 and 9. I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. Can I tell you something? Those verses used to terrify me. I would wake up in the night in sweats, wondering if it was game over. Because on a Monday night, if I'd, you know, not told my friends about church or about the Lord Jesus, I thought that was it. I thought, you know, Jesus was finished with me. But strangely, I think verse 10 helps us, even though it's a difficult verse. Look what he says. Everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. It's easy to get tied up in knots. But let me explain what I think is going on. If we've choked an opportunity to speak about Jesus, like the Apostle Peter, for example, who denied the Lord Jesus blatantly three times, I think that's a word against the Son of Man. I think that's what that's talking about. When our bottle crashes and we feel rotten, yeah, we can be forgiven. We're supposed to feel pretty rotten, I think. We're supposed to ask the Lord Jesus to forgive us, and he will. And I think we're supposed to do better next time. But what is this blasphemy against the Holy Spirit here that won't be forgiven? Well, I think it's a persistent, deliberate, hard-hearted denial and rejection of the Lord Jesus. Let me put those of kind of delicate temperaments, let me comfort you here. This is not talking about when I miss an opportunity to speak about Jesus. This is like the Pharisees who again and again see what Jesus is doing, see it and hear his teaching and reject it. They say, no, 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 we won't have anything. We won't have this guy to rule over us. The Holy Spirit is the one who was sent to earth to make Jesus real to people like us. And there's a difference, a massive difference between followers choking up and keeping their mouth shut and rejecting Jesus as the only way to be forgiven. And I think, as every preacher who has ever lived has said, if you're concerned that you may have committed the unforgivable sin, it's almost certainly a good sign that you've not. Because those who are committing it don't give a monkey's that they're committing this sin, that they're rejecting Jesus. That's the point. It's not that the sin is too big or too powerful for God. It's that the person rejects the only way that we can be forgiven. Now, let's think about this for a moment. If you're not a Christian, there is a warning in these words from Jesus today. See, the Lord Jesus teaches us that this world is not all there is, that there is something beyond our deaths. And as much as we want to think it'll all be okay, or we've not been too bad a person, the truth is, Jesus says, if we don't fear God, if we reject the message of the Lord Jesus, if we reject him, there won't be forgiveness, there won't be peace, there will not be the eternal life of heaven to come. Instead, you'll give account of your life to Jesus, and he has authority to throw your body and soul into the place of everlasting punishment. But for those who listen to Jesus, who fear God, who call on him to forgive them, who are willing to publicly acknowledge him before others, there's not to be a fear of death. There's not to be a fear of others. Call on the Lord Jesus today. Start fearing God. Ask for your forgiveness, and he will give it to you. What about if we are Christians? Well, I think these verses are asking us, are we continuing to publicly acknowledge that we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? One way is, have we been baptized as one of his followers? When the opportunities come, are we continuing to say, I'm a Christian and this is what I believe? Are we preparing ourselves to answer the questions that people have, to give a reason for the hope that we have, as Peter says? Are we continuing to fear God and not people? So we fear God because he controls our final destination. He cares for us. He rejects those who reject Jesus. Finally, we want to fear God, not people, because he provides when the pressure is on. Look at verse 11. When you're brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. Now, this is probably aimed a bit more directly at those first disciples of the Lord Jesus who were going to do these things in the book of Acts, who were going to stand before governors and you know, people in charge and stand up in synagogues. Let me be clear. This is not saying if one of our friends asks us a question that we can or shouldn't look up an answer or go and ask someone else. But it is telling us that there will be times that when we fear God and not people and publicly acknowledge Jesus, that God, the Holy Spirit, will help us at those moments. There may be times where we just seemingly randomly bump into someone who asks us a question about Christianity or seemingly pops up out of the blue. Who will help us to speak at those moments? God himself. God, the Holy Spirit. And whenever we find ourselves publicly acknowledging the Lord Jesus, God will use those words with power to draw people to the Lord Jesus. So today, what do we want to go away and do? Fear God. Fear God and not people. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, please would you forgive me, forgive us for those times where we've not wanted to stand out as followers of Jesus. I'm guilty. I've done it so many times. I ask for your forgiveness once more. And I ask for boldness to keep publicly acknowledging Jesus. Even today, Father, we ask that there would be opportunities, as limited as they might feel in this time that we live in, to point others to know and love our brilliant Savior. We ask these things in his worthy name. Amen. We're going to sing again as we close. We're going to sing a song called Never Alone. It reminds us that maybe at work, maybe in our homes, we may be the only Christian at that moment in time, but the Lord Jesus is always with us. Let's stand if you're able, and we'll sing Never Alone as we close, and then we'll stay standing for our closing prayer. And Titus, that'd be great if you could play the song.
Jesus has come, eternal world.
And the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory in Christ, after we have suffered a little while, will himself restore us and make us strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen.